Liberty Lounge. Brought to you every Friday night from 8 to 10 p.m. Pacific Time here on Just Measures Radio Network. Listen to classic country music in the Liberty Lounge to help you end your week on a pleasant note. We'll have sad songs. Happy songs. Patriotic songs.
There's a star spangled banner waving somewhere in a distant land so many miles away.
Songs of tragedy.
Two little boys and an old family dog by the banks of a stream said one day.
Love songs.
Welcome to my world.
And good old honky-tonk music.
I'm a honky-tonk man, and I can't seem to stop. I love to give the girls a...
So join me every Friday night and just let your hair down for a couple of hours here on Liberty Lounge.
Shotgun blast, shotgun boogie.
Hi, I'm Coke Reynolds, inviting you to join me for the Shooting Bench PM, the evening edition. Shooting Bench PM is your source for all things guns. Guns, hunting, reloading, firearms training, competition, and a host of other firearms-related topics.
Look out, bushy tail, tonight you'll be in the pot. Shotgun boogie. Draws a beat so fine. Look out, big boy, he's loaded all the time.
The Shooting Bench PM does not include news or politics unless it is directly related to your gun rights. Thursday evenings from 9 to 11 p.m. Mountain Time right here on Just Measures Radio Network.
I'll be back, little gal, when your pappy runs out of shell.
The truth.
But you can find it right here on the Shooting Bench. Coming up next.
Son, we live in a world that has walls, and those walls have to be guarded by men with guns. Who's gonna do it? You? I have a greater responsibility than you can possibly fathom. You have that luxury. You have the luxury of not knowing what I know. And my existence, while grotesque and incomprehensible to you, saves lives. You don't want the truth because deep down, places you don't talk about at parties. You want me on that wall.
You need the Shooting Bench.
We use words like honor, code, loyalty. We use these words as the backbone of a life spent defending something. You use them as a punchline.
And I am sick of the lies and the deceit and the intrusions on my privacy and the invasion of my home. And we do not intend to take this lying down.
I have neither the time nor the inclination to explain myself to a man who rises and sleeps under the blanket of the very freedom that I provide and then questions the manner in which I provide it. I would rather you just said thank you and went on your way.
And now, if you think you're ready, the Shooting Bench.
The views expressed in the following broadcast are not necessarily those of Just Measures Radio or the owners or sponsors thereof. Any and all mention of laws, ordinances, or policies are not to be construed as legal advice or necessarily all-inclusive. The listener bears all responsibility in verifying this information. Be advised that this broadcast may be inflammatory to those with thin skin, lymph wrists, and room temperature IQs. Furthermore, the statements expressed by the host may contain information known to the state of California to inspire free thinking and may promote unexpected growth of testicles and backbone. Listener discretion is advised.
All right, here we are. Welcome to the Shooting Bench. It is the 8th of October, and it's a Wednesday. Usually I'm running a little late on Wednesdays because of my scouts, but I have figured out a solution to that, at least part-time. And if I can get the scouts to show up 30 minutes early, I can get out of there 30 minutes early, but can't always do that. Stand by just 1 second. All right, I'm back. So, we've got, I got some good news. I told you about the, first off, let me see here who all is in the chat room, see if we're getting out. I don't know if we got any sound out there. Let's see if we can get some response. Let's see a show of hands here to everybody that has sound. And we've got Concretin, the Tinker, Mini, Mountain Shooter, Northwest Heavy, RC Flyer, Texas Sheepdog. Good to see you in here. And, of course, good to see all of you in here. It's just once a month you don't show up as often as others. A couple of anonymous there. All right. Good deal. All right. Sound's working. RC Flyer. We've got a... I told you about the new website, theshootingbench.us. And what I have done and been working on here in a tremendous amount of secrecy here for the last little while, we are, as a matter of fact, as we sprechen here tonight, all right, Mom, be careful. The Colloidal Silver book is now available on CD. And the Glock Armorer's Manual will be in the next 4 or 5 days. I'm going to be really tied up here next 3 days, but I'm hoping to have that ready. I may have some tomorrow. I don't know. But anyway, that's going to be good. And then eventually we're going to have the Glock Armorer's Manual in DVD format, the whole class. And but the CD is it's a PDF of 17 pages of the Glock Armorer's Manual, and it's pretty comprehensive. You should be able to do pretty much anything with your Glock out of that manual. There's the phone number, you know, way to get a hold of us if something were to come up and you weren't able to answer it. It comes with a lifetime of customer service there. So, and those are available, and my book is available on CD format here, and I've got two different kinds. I need to see which is which before I put them out there for you. One of them is going to be able to play in cars and stuff just on CD players. The other one will be on computers, you know, on the CD-ROM type deal. So as soon as I figure out which is which, which I'll try to get that done tomorrow also, then we'll put those available. And those are going to be available on our website here. Just, I don't know when I'm going to get around to putting them on there. I got to get the store put up on that website. I might work on it a little bit tonight after the show. But there's some new things we got going on there. And we'll be doing a class. It's already here, the 18th and 19th of this month, which is only a week and a half from now. We'll be doing back-to-back classes in Lincoln, California on the 18th. We'll be doing the Glock Armorer's class on the 19th, the 8-hour disaster preparedness seminar. As soon as we get back, I'm going to turn around and I'm going to get back here just in time to... get another class going. We've got the 8-hour disaster class going on the 25th, that Saturday, here in Vernon, down at the community park. There's a nice building down there with seats about 100 people. We're already getting reservations on that, getting quite a few people in there, so that ought to turn out real well. The following weekend, if all goes according to plan, which plans are subject to come apart, and that happens sometimes, but if everything goes according to plan, the first and second will be the combat medic class out at the ranch with our own Chuck Hudson doing that. And the following weekend, 8th and 9th, or 8th, 9th, and 10th, I'll be in Young, Arizona at the Survivalist Renaissance. Got some classes and little mini classes and some speaking stuff going on there. The 15th and 16th is a gun show and a preparedness fair in Kingman, Arizona. And I think I may be able to spend the weekend with my family on the 22nd. So that would be very nice. So we're going to be tied up here for a little while. You know, there's a... quite a number of people, a disappointingly large number of people, that thinks that Michael Savage is full bore, dyed-in-the-wool, carved-in-stone conservative. He is not. He talks a good line, but he's not. He is he's a pompous ass, and he's he says your gun rights, it's okay for you to have some kind of guns, but not others. So he's got a little bit of a hang up there with assault weapons and everything. But he's saying that let me just read this thing here to you. Michael Savage warns of a second civil war in a post-constitutional society. The Washington Times headline proclaims a feature of the talk radio show star and author's latest book, Stop the Coming Civil War, My Savage Truth. He said, I fear the worst. Right now, Americans are angry and more divided than I've seen them since the 1960s. Right now, the prognosis is not good. We have an incompetent zealot taking the nation down the road of weakness and centralized government governmental control of every aspect of our daily lives. Just as individuals snap when the pressure becomes too great, so too does a nation. As I see it, the forces of the left are attempting nothing less than a socialist takeover of the world economy and global politics. Obama's been engaged in a civil war from the day he seized the presidency. He said he's going to transform America. What was that? What was that declaration? It's a declaration of war against the country's traditional values and freedoms. So far that sounds okay. Not too bad. That's a pretty sums it up pretty well. So is that really what he means, though? Well, he goes on to say, not a war of bullets and blood, but one of commitment to freedom and courage of conviction. A page-turner from start to finish, this intelligent and principled fervent warning offers the savage truth, a call to action in the voting booth in order to defend the freedoms. Get over it already. So as it turns out, he's doing nothing but trying to sell a book and covering his nalgas at the same time, and with this call of action in the voting booth here. You know, that hasn't worked for the last 100 years. I don't suppose there's any large expectation that'll make any big changes here anytime soon. That's a great relief here. David Kodria says, because if things ever devolve beyond that, Savage has previously placed himself squarely on the side of bolstering the monopoly of violence in favor of those, he says, have declared war against traditional America. Remember, in 2009 was the last Michael Savage show that I listened to. I haven't heard him utter a single word on the radio since 2009. Matter of fact, that was a very short-lived point of contention between Amy and I, because we got married in 2009. And she was quite the Savage fan until I played a little part for there of what he said. You guys might remember that there's, believe it or not, well, of course you're going to believe it because he is who he is. But remember when he said that he talked about the futility of resisting government tyranny and asked if it was time, ask his Savage Nation listeners there, if it was time to ban semi-automatic firearms in order to keep the police from being outgunned. Well, that statement, that show, that archive is no longer where it was. It's not there anymore. So, but it is, if you guys are ever looking for anything, if you ever want to go try to find something that website or something that's been taken down, well, there's well, that was real ingenious of me. Hold on there a minute. Wow, there's a website out there called I think it's the Wayback Machine. Yeah, the Wayback Machine. It has a very long memory. It's got every website. That's actually how I found the old Southwest Shooting Authority after it went down. I needed some stuff off of it, and I said, oh, poop, I'm going to have to sit down and do all that over again. Well, I didn't. I went to the Wayback Machine, found what I was looking for, and managed to get everything squared away. Michael Savage says, is it time to ban assault weapons or assault rifles? What are they really needed for? He said, that's nonsense. This is the part that blew me away right here. He said, that is nonsense. He said that he, on Citizens Resisting Terror and Tyranny, he says, now, if the government wants to take your rights away or imprison you for whatever reason, you owning an assault rifle is not going to stop that. He said, so we have to ask the Savage Nation. If the police are not allowed to have these type of weapons, then why is the public allowed to have them? Well, number one, the police are actually allowed to have those type of weapons, and they are allowed to have them in fully automatic or select fire mode. And the public, for the most part, are not. They can have the semi-automatic ones, and with a few exceptions. He finished that little speech up with the false assumption that he either reveals intentional deception or else astonishing ignorance. He says, I want you, the Savage Nation, to tell me why. Well, people told him why enough that website, that URL no longer works. That website disappeared that had that show on it. And but the damage is done. I mean, too many people, I've got it. I didn't have the audio of it, but I do have the text of it saved. And it's a, I'll have to look and see if that URL got, it was off of another source. I'll have to check and see if that one is still available. But anyway, there's, for those of you that are Michael Savage fans, then he can hang in his ear, for all I'm concerned. I'm not a fan.
Yeah.
In Rhode Island, there seems to be a little bit of an issue here. The apparently, and we don't know if it's a crank call yet or what's going on there, but there's been a threat at a school there for planned beheadings. And all this goes along with the 10 ISIS fighters that they apparently allegedly caught coming across the southern border here yesterday. And I think late last night or this morning, I don't remember, just in the last 24 hours or so. And at this school, it says that they told the radio station there that the threat specified beheading is planned, and that's in quotes. He called the nature of the threat targeting children chilling. Well, I would say so. What you know, the people read this stuff in on the internet, you know, on Facebook and in the newspapers, and see it on TV and stuff. And my, isn't that terrible? It's horrific. It's chilling. It's can't believe people do that. What has happened? Well, when it starts happening in this country, when we start seeing kids and innocent women and whatnot raped and dismembered and beheaded here in this country, I think we're going to see a whole new ball of wax when it comes to these people's attitudes. Of course, there'll still be some. There'll still be, unfortunately, an unacceptable number. One is an unacceptable number. There'll still be quite a few of them that will try to stop it with some kind of legislation. They'll want to take the innocent folks' guns away because ISIS is attacking us. I mean, they come up with the stupidest ideas. Hey, Edge of the Woods just popped in there. Good to see you, buddy. And I think that it's going to take a little while. The shock is not soon going to wear off with these people. It's going to hang in there for a while, and I think we'll see these people in a degree of shock that we've never witnessed before, probably for, I wouldn't be surprised what it don't go as far as 90 days, possibly more. At which point, or during that period of time, we'll get absolutely nothing done. I saw, you talk about eating their own. I saw Jimmy Carter, who was formerly America's worst president, but is far from it now. What I wouldn't give to have Jimmy Carter back in office right now, or Bill Clinton, as far as that goes. I saw Carter on TV today chewing Obama's butt for not responding to this ISIS thing sooner. And even Jimmy Carter gets it. Now, if Jimmy Carter gets it, it can't be that complicated. R.C. Fire, I ain't kidding. I ain't trying to be funny. I would give anything to see Jimmy Carter back in office right now. Yes, he was an incompetent boob. But how much real damage was done during Carter's time? There was a lot of stuff that shouldn't have happened. He was not a great president by any means, any stretch of the imagination. But compared to what Obama did, what harm did Carter do? So what? He gave away the Panama Canal. Obama's giving away the United States. Yeah, And Clinton, you know, we look back at the Obama and the aspirin factories and all the scandals and stuff that went on in the blue dress and all the stuff, you know, embarrassing for the office of the president. But he didn't do anything nearly as what Obama has done. But evidently, the overwhelming majority of people like it because they sure as hell ain't doing nothing about it. RC Flyer, what else? Now, what I don't understand, I mean, it's not too hard to grasp the fact that that seems to be what he's doing. What's hard for me to understand is why the way our laws and everything is written, the Constitution being in place and all this stuff, that there was stuff written, you know, there was checks and balances written in there for this, for somebody to have done something, but nobody's doing anything. They bitch about it. Well, they gripe a little bit here and there, and they have hearings and slam their fists down on the table and raise their voice, and then they all gather together and go down to Hooters after it's over with and have a drink. Have a beer and some hot wings. And that's about the extent of the resistance that we've seen from Congress. That's what I don't understand. Yeah, it's time for the third box hopper. Yes, it is. It sure is. But, you know what? I understand. I see, you know, RC Flyer, they are too gutless, but you'd think, and I've said this before, you would think that out of all of them that's there, there wouldn't be a half a dozen or so, maybe 10, 15 out of all those folks that would see this for what it is and really make an effort to get something done about it. And, of course, there's 300 million Americans out there that could do the same thing, but they're not. They're doing what Congress does. They sit around and bitch about it, go down to Hooters and have a beer and some hot wings, go fishing, watch Dances with the Star, go to Starbucks, go down and see the latest movie, video games, Xbox, all this stuff, Wii. Yeah, they got all these important things to take care of while Rome burns. Well, I don't mind telling you that I have a tremendous problem with that, actually. But I don't know what to do about it.
Well, Mama was exhausted after she had me. Two nurses to hold me and one nurse to slap me. Doctor turned to Mama and he shook his head, wiped the sweat off his brow, and then he said, this boy's way up the charts as far as I can tell. Ooh, Mama, he's a double XL.
From Anonymous. The United States government is seeking to end the Constitution. This will endanger the American people, and we will not stand by and watch while this government of deception prepares to rip away from us all of the freedoms that our forefathers granted us. The freedoms that were fought for, bled for, that our ancestors died for. We must ensure that blood was not shed in vain, that their lives were indeed lost for a great nation that is not yet lost. We refuse to let the United States government destroy our way of life. The United States government insists on labeling us as terrorists. The question is, who do we terrorize? Is it probable that the United States government is truly afraid of we, the people? Nevertheless, the time for action is now. It is time to remind the government that we, the American people, are the ones who hold the power of this country, not them. The American people have realized that the current government is no longer functional. Our economy is unstable, our representatives incooperative, and our system destroyed. We are not calling upon the collective to deface or use a distributed denial of service attack on a United States government agency website or affiliate. We are not calling upon the people to once again occupy a city or protest in front of a local building. This has not brought on us any legislative change or alternate law. It has only brought us bloodshed and false criticism. For the last 12 years, Voting has been useless. Corporations and lobbyists are the true leaders of this country and are the ones with the power to control our lives. To rebuild our government, we must first destroy it. Our time for democracy is here. Our time for resolution is here. This is America's time for revolution. To restore our constitutional rights. To once again be free. Therefore, Anonymous, along with the American people, have decided to openly declare war on the United States government. This is a call to arms. We call upon the citizens of the United States to stand beside us in overthrowing this corrupted body and call upon a new era. We refuse to be police state. We refuse to be brutalized and dehumanized by the very people our tax dollars fund to protect our cities and streets. We will not allow the government to control our destiny, our right to build a life for ourselves. We demand freedom from government control, taxation, repossession and death. You will not come to our doors and take our guns, our property. You will not force the citizens of this great country to participate in the unlawful act of government-mandated health care. We the people refuse to put in your control our health, our bodies, our minds, our lives. We will not grant permission for the government to deploy drones over our homes and communities. We must end the Federal Reserve. A private central bank should not issue our currency, set interest rates and run our economy. Rather, we need to return control over the currency to the American people where it belongs. You, the United States government, have overstepped your privileges for the last time. Our peaceful actions, patience and restraint have been demonstrated as we watched and waited for our Congress and representatives to speak for the American citizens and protect us from the tyrant that sits in the Oval Office and happily strips the American people of our rights, one by one, executive order by executive order. We have waited long enough. The Declaration of Independence establishes the supremacy of the people and the right and duty to defend the rights of the people over the acts of the government. Our Constitution provides for as many protections as possible to ensure that the government is subservient to the people and only exists for the purpose of serving the people. However, should these protections fail, it is up to the people to rise up against the government and to put the government back in its place. In this capacity, the people act as the fourth branch of government to take control and to override their decisions that violate the fundamental rights of the people to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. By what means do the people exercise their authority over the government? That depends on how resistant the government is to complying with the will of the people. In the case of the Declaration of Independence, it meant declaring war on the government and overthrowing them. This is obviously a last resort after taking other steps less harsh. Have we not tried? It is clearly the right and the duty of the American people to overthrow the government in order to restore the United States as a government to serve the people. This is clearly established in historical precedent. This is that time. We have exhausted every other option. Our government has ignored us. We must take action to ensure our freedoms. When the government violates the Constitution, it is the duty of the people to rise up against the government to bring them back into compliance with the Constitution. Our allegiance is not to the government. Our allegiance is to the American people, because they are us, and we are them. We the people have both the power and the responsibility to maintain our government in a manner that best serves the people in the pursuit of life, liberty, freedom, and the citizens of America. You are not alone. There are millions beside you. You will know when it's time. When the government attacks your words, we fight with voice. When the government attacks your guns, we fight with our weapons. To the Small Arms Treaty, you will not remove the Second Amendment on July 27, 2012. We are Anonymous. We are Americans. We never forgive. We never forget. We will fight for our rights to the United States government. It's too late to expect us. Operation American Freedom engaged.
There was 40 feet between them when they stopped to make their play. And the swiftness of the Ranger is still talked about today. Texas red and not cleared leather for a bullet fairly ripped. And the Ranger's aim was deadly with the big iron on his hip. Big iron on his hip.
All right, we're back. Let me check. We've got a event going on out at the ranch this weekend. It's kind of a promotional thing to a fairly decent group of people, decent-sized group of people. It's going to be a lot of fun. There's going to be some events and activities and stuff, and yours truly will be out there at least for a couple of days. So we'll keep you updated. The Thursday night show, not sure if it's going to be from here or from there, but I have every intention of trying desperately to make sure that works. And the Friday night show will definitely be from the ranch. So now I don't know if we'll see how with all these people out there, it's going to be hard to keep all of them off their cell phones out there. The more people are on the cell phone, the worse my signal is. So we'll have to see if we're able to keep them under control and see how well the show comes through. If worse comes to worse, what I may do is put on, if I have to, not because I want to, but because if I very much have to, I'll put on a archive of the Liberty Lounge and get that playing for you. So you'll have Liberty Lounge one way or another. It just may be one that you've heard before. I'll try to pick one of the better ones if I have to do that. But there'll be a lot of people out there, and I'm afraid with all those people on their phones and stuff and looking up stuff and talking and whatever, checking Facebook, that it may affect my ability to do the show. So we'll find out. You'll be the first to know. Oh, I hear that California is going to be losing some tax money quite a bit. One of the, you've heard of ProMag. It's probably one of the top three biggest magazine manufacturers in the world, certainly in the United States. Well, they are leaving the People's Republic. They're leaving the anti-Second Amendment state of Californication. And where are they going? Take a wild guess. You got it. That's right. Arizona. Uh-huh. Yeah, they're coming to Arizona. They're coming over here where freedom is rampant, and they are going to set up shop right here in Arizona. Not sure where they're going yet. Let's check this out here. ProMag Industries General Manager explains the decision to relocate was based on California's Second Amendment political environment and the proliferation of restrictive gun manufacturing legislation. Now, these guys have probably stayed in business. I don't know what the law says or how, if they're making 30-round magazines for ARs and stuff, can they do that if they ship them out of state? I don't know how that works exactly, but I do know that I'm going to be looking at ProMag in a whole different light here. I haven't been the biggest fan of their magazines. Now, that's not to say they're bad, but I've had a few problems with them, with some of them. But I am going to put all that behind me. I'm going to pull a blanket up over it, never to be seen again, and I'm going to allow them a fresh new start. And I'm going to look at them as if I had never purchased one before and give them another chance. And I'm going to buy some of their magazines whether they work or not. I don't care. It's the way I am. It's just how I roll. So we'll look and see. I'm kind of covered up with AK magazines and stuff, but I'm sure I got something around here that I could use magazines for. What's RC Flyer got going here? So they just voted that all chicken eggs sold in the state have to come from free range chickens. Oh, really? Free. Unbelievable. So, all right. Well, since we're drifting a little bit into gun stuff, let me tell you a couple of things that I learned here over the last two or three days. And that is that all Marlin 1894 ejectors are not equal, meaning they are not built the same. Brownells didn't know that. And Numerich Armed Gun Parts, evidently they didn't know that. It's not in their book. You know what? Let me tell you something funny. Marlin didn't know that. It was not until, because pre-1979, now we're not talking 1840, we're talking 1979. Pre-1979 Marlins had a different ejector than the modern ones. The modern ones are more robust and built a little heavier. They're the ones with the little stob on it, the little peg that goes in the hole on the left side of the receiver. And I like them better. They're built much better. That's not to say that there's anything wrong with the old ones, because I have put many a thousand rounds through the old ones, and they were fine. But I looked in the in Brownells, and I picked out, and they say it says 1894, 1894C, 1894CS, the 357 Magnum, 44 Magnum, 45 Colt, the 30AS, the model 94, the 336. Okay, well, you can't hardly go wrong. So I ordered two of them. One of them to put in a little 44 Magnum that I did some trading on here 5 weeks ago. And the other, I was just going to keep for a spare, since I've got the 30-30 and the 357 and two 44s now. And Marlin didn't know. And there's a company in, where in the heck are they at? I think they're in Iowa. No. It's either North or South Dakota. Anyway, called Jack First. Jack First used to be in California when I was stationed in Barstow, Fort Irwin, California. Jack First was in what was the name of that little town? I don't remember. Wait, Lancaster, yeah, thank you, Mountain Shooter. I thought you might know that, being as you're from the People's Republic. Yeah, Lancaster, California. And he wasn't too big of a deal there, but he moved out, left California, and went to the Midwest there somewhere. And I tell you what, if you're looking for obsolete parts, Jack First has got it together way more than Numerich does. Numerich has a larger variety, but as far as obsolete stuff, Jack First has no peer. If you need obsolete parts or parts for obsolete guns, then you might as well just go ahead and start with Jack First, because they got them. If they don't, I can assure you that nobody else does. So save the running around and just go there and see what you can find. Anyway, it was through them that I found out that pre-1979 guns, no, that's first, like, number one, F-I-R-S-T. It was through them and I found out that the pre-1979 guns have one-piece extractors, ejectors, dang it. If you look at the modern ones, it's kind of a little machined piece of steel with a slot cut in it and a little leaf spring stuck in that slot and staked in place. And it's a great idea. It works fine. I have no problem with it. Hey, Gauntlet, glad to see you in here tonight. And the older ones are one piece, the spring steel. It's one folded piece. Looks rather like a hair clip. And kind of a V-shaped piece of spring steel with a little sharp shoulder up in front of it that catches the edge of the brass. Mountain Shooter, he is kind of on the web, but the catalogs are not. So if you don't have access to catalogs, you're going to have to call and ask. The catalogs are not available on the website unless some other third party somewhere has put them on there. But the older ones, instead of having a peg that goes in the hole, which I like a whole lot better, it has a kind of a little flat foot that sets in a round recess in the receiver, and it's also about a quarter or 3/8 of an inch shorter than the newer ones. Now, the newer ones, true enough, will fit everything after 1979. It's one size fits all, as far as I can tell. But the older ones, I don't think they're built as well. Like, I can't gripe, though. You know, I had a 30-30 when I was growing up, but I don't know how damn many rounds I put through that thing. And then I had that 44 Magnum that I sold, and I probably put, I don't know, I probably put, I wouldn't be surprised what I put 10,000-15,000 rounds through that thing, and never had a single, not the slightest hint of a stoppage or problem of any kind with that little gun. It was awesome. And now, through all of this carrying on here with Marlin, I found out that these two guns, one of them's a 1974, one of them's a 1976. So both of them are going to require the same type of ejector on them. So I called Jack first and get this, and wouldn't you know it, they're out. So I'm going to keep calling them every 3 or 4 weeks and see if I can catch one. And so that means that little 44 I got is, you know, Mountain Shooter, I don't know where the date code is. I might be able to find it for you, though, during the next break. But it's somewhere in the serial number, because I gave the guy the serial number off both of them. He told me what the years were. So you might just, if you need to know, just call Marlin and they could probably just whip it out for you right quick there. But so that means I've got one. I need to find a stock for it anyway. Somebody cut this stock down for a third grader, I guess, and it's a little short. It's just about right for Amy. And I might leave it, if she likes that gun, I may leave it like that so she can have a little 44 Magnum of her own. We'll see how she does with it, if she enjoys it. Or there ain't a thing in the world wrong with 30-30 RC Flyer. That's the greatest deer rifle that ever walked the face of the earth. That's the greatest deer rifle God ever created right there. The 30-30, as far as hunting deer, as far as I'm concerned, has no period. There's no, there's nothing like a 30-30. There is nothing as a fit. Now, of course, there's some longer range guns. I mean, even these guys down in Georgia will set up in a tree stand and shoot an 85-pound whitetail with a 7mm Magnum at 35 yards. The 30-30 or the 35 Remington, something like that. It couldn't get any better for that part of the country. They're fast enough to, you know, that you don't have to lob them out there too much, but they're still slow enough that they don't absolutely destroy a whole bunch of meat. 99% of the mule deer that I've killed with a 30-30 have been several. The bullet was found just under the skin on the offside, which is perfect. Every ounce of energy was used up in complete penetration. How could it get any better? Yeah, you can shoot them with a 30-06 or a 300 Win Mag or whatever, and about 75% of your energy just gets wasted out the other side and goes in a tree somewhere downrange. So you can't beat the 30-30. Hey, there's Aaron in there. Aaron's 6.5 Creedmoor. You got to be serious here. But I've seen now, when you get into, it's got plenty enough for elk. There's been hundreds of thousands of elk killed with 30-30s. I know a guy up in, or I don't know him, he's probably dead by now. He's an old man up in Jackson Hole, Wyoming. He hunted moose regularly with the 30-30. And never had a problem with it. Of course, moose are pretty easy to kill. They're like killing an old milk cow. They're not nearly as tenacious as an elk is. But the gauntlet, for you to buy my 527, it's going to cost you a whole lot more money than you want to spend, I would imagine. But I'll take it under advisement. Okay, I'm done. That's an awesome little gun, man. That's a neat little rifle. And it's a great little deer gun. That 7.62 with 39 is, well, we've said this 100 times, given the same bullet weight as the 30-30, they're virtually ballistic twins. There's just not enough, as many different styles and source readily available hunting ammo out there for the 7.62 to 39, but hell, it's a neat little gun. And you might check some other places besides Davidson's. I don't know. You know what? I can do something for you, and not only can I, but I will. I will do it right now. Well, actually, I can look and see, but I won't be able to get availability. I can only get the numbers and stuff. Let's see here. Let's try this just for the heck of it. And see what we come up with here. And I can tell you, maybe. Let's see, handguns, long guns. There we go. Let's check this right here. I've got a regular old genuine everyday ordinary run of the mill flip the page catalog right here on my screen of my computer. How awesome is that? And I'm going to find out here, and I'm going to give you of course you may already have it. Let's see, exclusive Mossberg, CZ USA. That is page 141 through 146. You hear that turning the pages? Let's see here. Try that again. Okay, 141 through 146. Let's see how we do this here. Stop it. That's not what I wanted to do. Well, let's see. How can we turn pages faster than that? What did I say? 140, 143, I think it was. Okay, let's see there. We're going along here. A little bit of time. You know what? They didn't take me to the page that I wanted. Alright, let's try this again. I see they're 100 pages off here. I asked for 143, they gave me 243. So let me back up here. We're in Savage right now. Let's see here. Let's try page 98 and see where that takes us. That'll save us a lot of page flipping. Okay, that takes us to Mossberg. So let's go to page 70. See where that takes us. Alright, we're getting closer. It's H and R. So how about 55? Okay. DPMS, that ought to be close enough that we can turn the pages all by ourselves here. See where we're going to get. Daniel Defense. CZUSA. Okay, we're looking for a 527 in 7.62 by 39. Right there it is, 18.5-inch barrel, 5-shot magazine, $733. That's a suggested retail. All right, Gauntlet, you may already have this, but I'm going to give you two numbers. And you go check with a dealer in your area there somewhere. Somebody in your area deals with Ellett Brothers. Nearly all dealers deal with Ellett Brothers. Okay? This is Ellett Brothers. Oh, stop. This is Ellett Brothers' catalog number, their order number. This order is no good from anybody except Ellett Brothers. All right, you ready to copy? 01-23-382. It's the only option you have. And if you want to order it from anybody else, here is a manufacturer's number. CZUSA 527 carbine. Manufacturer's number is 03050. And that will save you some explaining. It will save you other people some looking up time. And that might help you out a little bit. There's, the stuff. So the problem with double tap ammo, that we need to check and see if they're selling. Most of the commercial guys are selling 308 bullets in their 7.62 by 39s. Yes, it works, but accuracy is not great. I don't know why, especially with the several bolt guns I got out now. Savage has one out. I don't know if you're aware of that or not. Savage has a little 7.62 by 39 in their little scout rifle. Not the scout rifle, but yeah, I think it is a scout something. Not to be confused with the Ruger scout rifle, but whatever it is. So I thought that with these other guns coming out in that caliber, that they would be, some of the manufacturers would be trying to tune up some, get some Remington premium ammo. I mean, it's a Federal premium ammo or something out there that would shoot a little better. Because I think that CZ would probably be a tack driver with some good ammo in it. However, as I've said a thousand times, I don't want to see how well it shoots. I want to know how well it shoots with the ammo that's going to be available when the time comes. So that's all I'm interested in. Alright, let's try that again. I think I may have inadvertently took it quite easy. Alright, here we go.
The sun is coming. step I take back to your side. It hurts my pride. I couldn't leave you if I tried. Well, I could not walk away. No matter what I say, I won't believe in, believe it or not.
Solution, okay. Which is basically just a way for the Democrats to avoid dealing with this until 2017. I'm not here to talk about plans to deal with this till 2017. I'm saying we've got a real problem, and I'm tired of Republicans and Democrats who either want Republicans who want to burn the place to the ground, and Democrats, with all due respect, who want to offer a plan that gets it through their end of their second term of their presidency, and then screws me and my kids when it's over. And until we do that, we have to deal with the extraction that is at foot. It is the reason the financial markets are behaving the way they're behaving. That is a mathematical fact. This is not some opinion. This is a mathematical fact. Tens of trillions of dollars are being extracted from the United States of America. Democrats aren't doing it. Republicans are not doing it. An entire integrated system, financial system, trading system, taxing system that was created by both parties over a period of two decades is at work on our entire country right now. And we're sitting here arguing about whether we should do the $4 trillion plan that kicks the can down the road for the president for 2017 or burn the place to the ground, both of which are reckless, irresponsible, and stupid. And the fact of the matter is, until we actually, and I'm sorry to lose my temper, but I tell you what, I've been coming on TV for 3 years doing this. And the fact of the matter is that there's a refusal on both the Democratic and the Republican side of the aisle to acknowledge the mathematical problem, which is that the United States of America is being extracted. It's being extracted through banking, it's being extracted through trade, and it's being extracted through taxation. And there's not a single politician that has stepped forward, Susan, to deal with this.
But there's only one right now. The leader of the free world, whether you like it or not, the president of the United States is arguably one of the most powerful individuals we have out there.
But,
and
Susan,
he's
what you're
president.
Saying is exactly the point that Dylan is making. It's not about one guy. It's about all of them.
No, I actually disagree. I think Dylan's
saying
it
is
about one guy.
It is about one guy.
What would you like him to do?
I would like him to go to the people of the United States of America and say, People of the United States of America, your Congress is bought. Your Congress is incapable of making legislation on health care, banking, trade, or taxes, because if they do it, they will lose their political funding and they won't do it. But I'm the President of the United States, and I will have a country that is run by a bought Congress. So I'm not going to work with a bought Congress and try to be Mr. Big Guy. I'm working with the bought Congress. I'm going to abandon the bought Congress like Teddy Roosevelt did, and I'm going to go to the people of the United States, and I'm going to say, you've got a bought Congress. And until we get rid of the bought Congress, which is Jimmy Williams' constant point, which is get the money out of politics, and until a president says that's the problem and says he's going to fix it, there is no policy that I can possibly see, no matter how brilliant your idea may be, or your idea, or my idea, or her idea, or your idea at home, is that idea will not happen as long as there is the capacity to basically fire a politician who disagrees with me by taking funding away from him. Is that a fair assessment?
Money and politics is the root of all political evil. It is corruption at its worst. And until we step up and kick that out of the park, it's going to be the same system.
And only the president could do that. We're going to
Congress has to do it too. The Congress has to do it too.
But I'll tell you what. How bad does it have to get? How much money has to be extracted? How many things have to be heard?
The brass tacks. Okay, physically, what do you do?
You go and give a speech.
Right now.
Right now.
Right now.
You say.
And then what happens tomorrow?
Tomorrow, what happens is you begin the process of actually investing in solving the problem. So I come out and I say, how? I create an infrastructure bank with 2% blending immediately. There's that. Once I explain to people the problem, once I explain to you you have cancer, once you understand how screwed up your trade, tax, and banking policies are, believe me, you will have no issue when I incorporate an infrastructure bank that I fund with repatriated offshore money that I bring in and then use to create 2% direct lending to every business in America. Because when you realize that the banking system is fully corrupt and defrauding us, and I come out and say that, which is what I want my president to do, then at that exact moment I say, you know what, we got a screwed up situation here, people. You all know it, and now what? I'm going to admit it. And as a result, not only have I admitted it, but we're going to begin the process of solving it like grown-ups. They did it in World War II. They did it after the Civil War. They did it in Latin America with the Brady Bonds. We are not seeing it happen now. The panel stays a little more emotional than I anticipated getting at work this afternoon, but what am I going to do?
But we have to stop looking for salvation in this system. The system.
It was over in a moment, and the folks had gathered round. There before them lay the body of the outlaw on the ground. Oh, he might have went on living, but he made one fatal slip when he tried to match the ranger with the big iron on his hip. Big iron on his hip. Big iron.
All right, we're back. And we had been talking about ProMag there, and then got off on way off on a tangent there. But that happens occasionally on the shooting bench. It's just one of those things you have to get used to. But ProMag says one of the reasons they have selected Arizona is because they are a constitutional carry state, which I think that's a bit of a misnomer, but nevertheless, wow. Jeez. Amy just showed me a picture of a bridge going across a rope bridge going across a river in Indonesia, and kids going across it, and it's dilapidated and falling down and hanging on to ropes and stepping over boards and stuff. It was... you'd have to see that picture. It's pretty. Put that picture in the chat room. Sure you can. You know how to do it. You've been taught properly. She may stick that in the chat room for you here in a minute. Anyway, they said it's a constitutional carry state. The company viewed the challenges of a corporate move in a positive light and took the opportunity to implement new ideas, improvements to their products, and hire additional employees. In the research and development field, what the company was limited to accomplishing in California is no longer an obstacle in Arizona. Bingo! Rather than being forced by state laws to travel to a different state to test a product in development, they can remain. How stupid is that? they've got to, they get some new products, which leads me to believe what I asked earlier. They can probably sell them as long as they leave the state, but they can't go off, they can't test them in the state of California. They got to drive to Arizona or Nevada to check them out. So they're free to incorporate new processes in innovation and quality control. They said in California he was apprehensive about who he spoke to due to the anti-gun atmosphere, adding that the people in Arizona made him feel welcome. Yeah, that's what Arizona's all about. Okay, well, let's go on. Let's go to North Carolina. Let's go all the way over to the other side of the country here. In House Bill 937, which just became effective the 1st of October. No, I'm sorry, 1st of October in 2013, a year ago. So it's been 1 year since they passed this law allowing guns in bars. Their expanded concealed carry law into restaurants where alcohol is sold and consumed, assemblies of people for which admission is charged, parades, funerals, state municipal parks, and to a limited extent, educational properties. As always, what have they always said? There's going to be blood in the streets. Unbelievable amount of mayhem. Can't believe you're doing this. Guns and alcohol don't mix. Well, as responsible gun owners, we know that. Yeah, we know that guns and alcohol don't mix. So if you're there shooting a game of pool, eating dinner, you just want to have a beer. Now, I very much vehemently disagree with even having one beer. But some states you're allowed to drink and carry, and some you're not. But nevertheless, it's been a year. Where's the mayhem? Hasn't been any. Hasn't been a single incident in a year. That and they've got a substantial number of concealed carry holders there. For the most part, with all the background checks and the mandatory training and having to have the permits and the pictures and all that stuff taken care of, these people have already proven that they're on par or a cut above the average person out there. Certainly the gun owners, I guess, they've got the background checks and everything shows them to be apparently anyway, squared away. With a rate of permit revocation on the order of 0.3%, we explained that the permit holders in restaurants would still be prohibited from drinking. So you in North Carolina, you cannot drink. You can go to the restaurant where they serve alcohol, but you can't drink any of it. Well, that's the same in Arizona, same in New Mexico, and same in a lot of states. Colorado. Utah, however, you can drink. As long as you don't pass the legal driving limit, 0.08, you're okay. But even after all of this, they're still saying, oh, woe is us. There's going to be blood running in the gutters of the street here. Well, this hadn't been the case. So what has happened? Well, it's been a year since this became effective, HB 937. And what has happened? Nothing. Nothing. That's the end of the story. Nothing's happened. Now, the state fair in North Carolina is the latest battleground, I guess. And the commissioner, agriculture commission. I wonder why it doesn't say the agricultural commissioner has anything to do with the permits. In Florida, the Department of Agriculture are the ones that issues your concealed carry permit. I never did quite understand that. But I guess the problem with that is they didn't ask me first. But the commissioner says he'll post the North Carolina State Fair against concealed carry, even though statutes adopted in 937 now prohibit him from doing so. So if he's prohibited from doing that, what is going to take place here? Now, this leads me to a totally separate and unrelated question. Why don't some people watch the news? There's a lot of people out there that have their head in their nalgas firmly implanted right up to the throat. I don't know how they keep from choking themselves to death with the sphincter muscle around their throat. But, you know, in order to find out if these signs are legal and stuff like that and what's going on in your area, your current events, especially locally, you have to kind of pay attention to what's going on there once in a while. You have to look, you have to check the, watch the news on TV, watch the, you know, listen to the radio or something. You got to figure out some way to, to figure out what's going on. So back to the story here, if this guy, it's illegal for him to post this, a lot of people are going to see that and say, oh, we can't carry here because it's posted. Where good, knowledgeable shooting bench listeners are going to look and say, huh, you can pound sand. It's not legal for you to do that. So you can jump up and bite me and bite my my bottom. What's Aaron saying? Why do I go off target with distractions? Because you need to get better at calling the wind. Too much hot air and conversation veer off target. Yeah, that's it does happen that way occasionally. One of those things. The Amy posted that link there for you guys in the chat room. Check that out. Unbelievable. Wow. Minnie just posted a 7.0 earthquake in the Southern Pacific there somewhere. We'll have to check into that later. 7.0, that's a pretty good rumble there. Okay, let's see. So the North Carolina State Fair is the latest battleground. Let's see, there's some news, some stories, some links here, and check on it. So we'll see what happens. Here, the governor of North Carolina put a comment on here. Said somebody should do a study on Iowa where you can carry in a bar and drink until your blood alcohol content hits 0.08 legally, and the state always ranks the lowest five states for the homicide rate. Well, there you have it. Another guy said you should do a study in Pennsylvania where you can legally carry in a bar and drink until you're dead. Because the problem isn't drinking and carrying a firearm. The problem is irresponsibility. This guy gets it. He understands. If you're the kind of person that can't drink, control themselves, and leave your guns at home. Or don't drink. Simple solution. If you're the type of person who can't drink and control themselves, then leave your guns at home. Simple. And this guy says, if you're the kind of person who can't drink and control themselves, then don't drink. You're the kind that ruins things for everyone else who can. Right? It just goes on and on here. Okay, let's go here. And, let me go to, oh, Aaron, as long as you're in hollering range there, I don't know how Brian slipped through the cracks there for the Glock Armorers class, but I did get him squared away, got him taken care of. So I think that's all taken care of now. I think that everybody that has emailed me now has been sent their registration forms and all of that, I'm hoping. So we'll find out. I've got to go. Said I've got to go out to the ranch this weekend, and I'm going to come back. I'm going to try to get back here early Sunday. And depends how everything goes. I may go there and spend a little time Saturday and turn around and come back. I don't know. But anyway, we'll be on our way. So by the time I get there, we should have the Glock Armors class on the manual on CD, which a PDF format on CD. And sometime here in the next 90 days or so, I hope to have the entire class on video so that you can use that to complement your good refresher if you've taken the class, or if you, for time constraints or money or something, can't make it to the class, then that might be a reasonable alternative. So, need to get with Brian and them and tell them to get some more folks lined up here. We're still got a little room. We'd like to fill that up if we could. Okay, let's do this, and then we'll come back and do that.
That suitcase, let's turn this thing around. We've got everybody talking all over town. But if you have to leave, well, keep one thing in mind. Oh, this one's gonna hurt you for a long time. To help me understand how love can go so wrong between a woman and a man. But just beyond the door, here's what you will find. Girl, this one's gonna hurt you for a long.
That's the last of the music tonight. We've just got a couple more stories here we're going to throw in. And, Aaron, let's see if you responded to that. Okay, yeah, if I put it in PDF, it doesn't matter what format I do it in. You can copy it in whatever. So I'll do that. I'll do that tonight before I go to bed and get that off to you. And if you could spread some of those out there, that would be awesome. And so far, it looks like the... disaster preparedness class is not doing real well, so but the Glock Armors class is picking up. So, all right, I'll get that done for you, or for us. All right, in Mississippi, the Attorney General there says the city has no authority to ban the open carry of firearms, even in courtrooms. Now, that's my kind of Attorney General right there. He says police cannot regulate open carry even in their stations. Now, if one attorney general has that attitude, What about all the thousands before him that have come around in the various states and municipalities and whatever with their own attorney general? And he's the first one to come and say, hey, you can't do that. This is spelled out twice now in two opinions. The city has no authority to regulate firearms except those places listed in MCA 45953, like public parks, board meetings. They have no authority that even allows a city to ban open carried firearms, even in police stations or courtrooms. That sounds a little... I mean, I'm all for it. I think it's a good idea. But I'm having a hard time figuring that he's going to have a whole lot of luck with that. But let's see. This guy's name's David Ringer. Just about a month ago, a little less than a month ago. I think there's no way for this to be true, but what we are so accustomed to doing is accepting authority without questioning authority. We accept the fact that laws exist when they really don't, because somebody in authority says it does, or posts a sign. What guy sounds kind of like me. We think laws exist that don't exist. We think there are hundreds of thousands of illegal weapons in our state under Mississippi law. Fact is, there are no illegal weapons in our state under Mississippi law. Fully automatic weapons and those sawed off below a certain length are illegal under federal law, but under Mississippi law, the violation is carrying a concealed weapon, and the penalty for a slingshot is the same as a firearm. Most of us are familiar with the drinking and driving laws and the open container laws in the state of Mississippi. If you agree with that statement, you're wrong. There are no state drinking and driving laws or open container laws. Only driving under the influence and open container laws only exist as local ordinances. We wonder why the White House security snipers didn't shoot the recent intruder in the White House grounds or inside the White House, but a recently interviewed uniformed Secret Service agent spelled it out, and you just can't shoot a trespasser. That's probably something the Secret Service didn't want told, but that's the way it is. I think somebody at a pond near Brandon found out a year or so ago that after repeatedly shooting a person fishing on another's land, trespassing is a misdemeanor. You may be thinking the city can ban weapons under MCA 45-9-101 by signage. Well, that statute applies to basic concealed carriers, and the signage applies to private property owners. This opinion also spells it out that HB 314 from our last session limited the power of cities and counties to pass ordinances more restrictive than state law on firearms. That law actually existed before, but gave citizens no recourse if the cities or counties violated the law. Now it does. You may think the so-called enhanced carry law prohibits enhanced carriers from carrying into law enforcement facilities and courtrooms. While that is true, it applies to concealed carry under this statute and does not address open carry. So he said it goes all the way back to the Mississippi Constitution. Big long article right here, but I think that I know Doc's pretty on top of things there. But I think what I'm going to do is send this to Doc and see if he would see if he's heard this. Aaron, I can do that. That's fine. I wouldn't mind doing that if you can get enough people to. Cause I'll have to bring a whole lot more stuff with me there, but. Yeah, we could do that. That would be kind of fun. So let me know, as long as we don't have anybody signed up for the disaster preparedness class, if we can throw one of these other ones together. Normally they are... Are you off to bed, babe?
Mm-hmm.
See you in the morning. Love you. If I can probably... Yeah, we'll get it worked out if we decide to do that. So, all right, let's carry on here. I got to find my other story. Here we go. All right, we got a few self-defense stories we'll do real quick. This was in Bay County, Florida. The It's likely this guy's mother would have been dead or injured. From the press release from the Sheriff's Office, Bay County Sheriff's Office responded to a 911 call today in reference to a domestic dispute. Deputies arriving found one man dead at the scene, another one in need of medical attention. Both had been shot. The criminal investigations and crime scenes responded to investigate the incident. Investigators have learned that the couple living in the home began a domestic argument early in the afternoon. As the argument escalated, the wife took her cell phone and fled the home to hide in the woods, and the husband, James Ivey, age 41, got in his truck and drove away. The couple's son, 21 years old, drove up to the home a short time later, finding the home empty. He called his mother on his phone. Upon receiving his call, his mother came out of hiding and joined her son at the home. A short time later, the dad returned and continued arguing with the wife. As the argument once again escalated, the son placed himself between them. According to his mother, Kyle attempted several times to calm his father and protect his mother. James responded by going into his room and getting a firearm, stating he was going to kill his wife. The son got his own firearm, and the two began to shoot at each other. Miss Ivy ran to the neighbor's home to call, have him call 911, and returned to administer to her son, who had been shot in the abdomen and was still alive. James Ivy was dead at the scene. The body had been turned over to the medical examiner, so investigation continues. This is the 120th defensive gun scenario that's been documented in the state of Florida. Now, this illustrates a number of things, and this is something that I've talked about numerous times in my classes here, and that is, what would you do if, let's say, and I've never used the dad as an example, but I've used son or son or daughter several times. What's happened if your son's been gone off to college for several years or the military, and they got wound up involved with gambling, drugs, failed relationships, financial problems, whatever it may be, and they're just, or maybe just a hormonal change or something, they're just not the same person they were when they left, and they come back and you maybe catch them in the middle of the night stealing money and confront them, and they pull a gun on you. There's 1,000 scenarios, 10,000 scenarios. What would you do? Are you prepared to do what this kid did, which is killed his own father? If it came down to a point where he's injuring somebody else in the family, and there's no stopping, no turning around, and he's got a gun, what else? What are you supposed to do? Another thing that it illustrates, I think, is a need, as I have always said, to always carry. You don't run to the closet and grab a shotgun out of there. You get the whatever you have on your hip and deal with the business as best you can with what you have. If you have to use the what's on your hip to buy a little time to get something more significant, then that's okay too. But the fact that having a gun on you or within arm's reach all the time. What's Aaron said? I've heard that assailants are most often someone with whom you've had some sort of relationship to. The stories of shooting complete stranger are pretty rare. I don't know about pretty rare, Aaron. There's a great many stories that it's family members or some sort of relationship that you're in. But I doubt it may be half. We do these stories just all the time. We've done hundreds of stories. And I wouldn't think that any more than half, if half, were people involved were some form of relationship, whether it's a spouse, boyfriend, girlfriend, or family member, whatever the case may be. So, but it is a pretty significant number. Now that makes sense, Aaron. That makes more sense. If that statistic was for rape, I think that's probably That's probably right on the money right there. All right, let's knock out a couple more of these real quick. In California, again, California homeowner defends wife by shooting and killing a home invader. From the PE.com, about 10:45 p.m., a woman called 911 to report a burglary in progress. Riverside County Sheriff said, let's see, the woman said a man was trying to force his way into her home, and her husband had armed himself with a handgun. Sheriff's official said the husband, who's in his 40s, warned the man that he was armed and would shoot if he continued. The intruder did not heed the resident's warning, breaking a window, and the homeowner opened fire. The man was taken to an ambulance, taken by ambulance to Inland Valley Medical Center, where he succumbed to his injuries. Oh, well. Homeowner's not expected to face any charges in the incident. Since this was happening in California, then that was probably a good idea that they mentioned that. 63rd defensive gun use documented in the state of California. You know, there's a lot to be said right there. And how would we look at that in the state of Florida? This was the 120th defensive gun use. In California, it was the 63rd. So does that mean over the same period of time, does that mean that there's less crime in California than there is in Florida, or that there hasn't been as many reports? What I think is that because guns are so relatively rare and not as commonly used for self-defense, that it may have been the same time period, and the crime, I think, is every bit as high, if not higher. But what I think that the defensive gun use is so much lower is because it's so much harder to get a gun, keep a gun, use a gun, and consequently a whole bunch of people in California don't have a gun. So that's what I think. That's my story, and I'm sticking to it. So now here's a combination of those last two stories here, kind of. This comes out of the Why I Carry files. This is a little bit different than the defensive gun uses, but this is kind of the other side of the coin here. So according to WSB-TV, father is still in critical condition after being shot in front of his family during a home invasion. Police said two masked men kicked in the back door of the man's home Monday night. The homeowner tried to fight off the men, but was shot in front of his wife, mother, and three children. I have the only thing I can say to this is why people will go into their own homes and not have the means to defend themselves, not to wear it, carry it. I don't know. It's a complete mystery to me. Let's see. What was the time period of that? Let me see if I can find that for you, Aaron. I'm not sure. I don't think it's for this year. I think it's period all together here, but I don't see where it says what the time period is. Self-defense counter 1310 cases. Well, I don't know what the time period is. It says since they've been doing it. Here's one here in Ohio, and it is the 71st defensive gun use been documented in the state of Ohio. I guess that's since records have been kept. I don't know how when this outfit started doing this, but it says the 71st defensive gun use documented in the state of Ohio. So take that for what it's worth, I reckon. So back to this home invasion thing. most of your home invasions, at least the ones that's have from experienced people, are very dynamic. It's bust through the door, start barking orders, throwing people to the ground, throwing them in a closet, tying them up, shooting them, raping them, whatever goes on there. So it's not a matter of, somebody's beating on the door. Now, it does happen. I mean, we've talked about a lot of times that someone has been kicking the door, pounding on the door, hollering through there, and somebody has time to get a gun and deal with the problem. But a lot of the times it's just crash the door down or walk in because people don't lock the door. How dumb is that? You're all settled in for the night. Everything's taken care of, and you lock the door. And I'm a big fan of locking the door at night after everything is after you're settled in for the night. But if I lived in the city, I'd do it all the time. And I don't know when they started doing that. It was 63 for California and 71 for Ohio. And so it's all going to depend on when this particular company started keeping track of the shootings there. And it may be, because there's really not nearly as many. We don't get nearly as many stories out of Ohio as we do out of Texas and Florida and several of the eastern and midwestern states. But it's all going to depend on when they started keeping the records, I guess. But anyway, all right. Well, I'm going to I got to get some paperwork done. I got a lot of stuff. I got a very, very damn sure busy schedule here over the next the rest of this month, and well, actually through Thanksgiving. So I'm going to beg your forgiveness and sneak on out of here in a few minutes and try to get some of this stuff taken care of. I'm going to be I need to get me a cloning machine here, because I need two or three of me to help me get caught up here. But the only problem is I'd have to feed two or three more, and I can't do that either. So all right, well, Aaron, we'll entertain notions here of doing a defensive handgun class, sir. And see how that turns out, see how much interest you get, and if it works out that's what we need to do, well, then that's what we'll do, whatever it takes. All right, well, I'm going to get out of here. We'll see y'all tomorrow, and I'm not sure whether I'll be here or the ranch tomorrow, but I'm going to make every effort to bring you a live show tomorrow night. So we'll see you then. Good night. Okay, let's call it a day. Thank you for joining me. Join me every Monday through Friday night from 8 to 10 p.m. Pacific Time for the Shooting Bench, right here on Just Measures Radio Network. Let's free.